All right, hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. This week we're joined, as always, by Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett. Hello and welcome, Mr. Mayor. Thanks for being here.
Hello, Joe. Good to see you again.
Well, you know, just when you thought we were turning the corner, things were going back to normal. The state having about 200 positive cases a day now. Last week, more than 2,000 a day. Hospitalizations have tripled. I see 18 new cases in Vigo County yesterday. Vigo County in the yellow advisory level on the state metrics map. Any talk about mask mandates or more restrictions as these numbers start to go up?
You know, not really, other than the commissioners decided they were not going to go to masking. No mandates from the commissioner's office. You know, some people ask me, and I want to remind everyone that if I did a mask mandate, it can only last 7 days, and then I have to go to the city council. So that's not something that I'm going to do. The commissioners need to do that because they're able to, they can handle that through their legislative and executive process. They decided not to do that. The judges have decided and continuing to mask in the courtroom. So if you come in the courthouse, if you go in the courtroom, if you come in city hall and go in our courtroom, you have to wear a mask while you're in there. The school corporation has decided to mask the younger kids and the high school kids in certain environments. So I think it's an evolving situation. I talked to the people, health department, hospitals, the commissioners, almost on a daily basis, at least every other day, about where's this going. I think everybody kind of feels that we hope it's only a few weeks of this and not months of this. And so right now we're just kind of status quo from our perspective. We're still encouraging people to, you know, obviously if you get any sickness, you stay home, wear a mask if you choose to, and distance from people, get your vaccination. But we're not requiring masks in City Hall or anywhere else in the city at this point without a governor or commissioner directive.
So would that be kind of considered your metric for restrictions? Would be how long the cases continue to go up?
You know, I think my guess is that one of the key triggers will be hospitalizations. You know, if people are getting sick, that's kind of one thing, and you got to stay home for a few days or a week and you come back to work. But it's those people that are really sick. If we're seeing where the numbers are going up and the hospitalizations are going up, where you go back in time and the kind of the numbers that everybody was talking about using to take it to the next level, if you will, that's what's going to drive me, I think, more than just people getting the COVID. Hopefully this will cause more people to get vaccinations. I think that's probably the case. And so maybe we keep closing that gap. Some people are going to get it. Some people are going to get vaccinated, and we continue to shrink that base out there that can be contagious. The other problem, though, that I see is I know some people personally who have had COVID, had the vaccination, and now they have COVID again. And so I don't know how common that is yet, but I know of two people personally just in the last week that that's happened too. So I think we still have a lot of unknowns about all of this.
Yeah, I know here in Monroe County, seeing the highest hospitalization since February. Are there any, what are the metrics over there in Vigo County?
Yeah, we're not where we were before. I don't have today's numbers. I didn't have a chance to look into it before this call, but they're pretty manageable right now. But you know, I think that could change, you know, in 24 hours, it could be a totally different picture. But it's not as high as it was last year.
Now, I wanted to bring up a kind of a different topic. I don't think we've ever talked about, just because it's such a big story here in Bloomington right now, is annexation. And maybe you'd be able to offer just a different perspective coming from Terre Haute and Vigo County, because Vigo County has about, from what I looked up, 107,000 people. The city has, what, about 61,000? Does that sound about right? You know, Bloomington has an annex in about 17 years. The mayor here says he's trying to play catch up. Has your administration ever thought about annexation, or what are your thoughts on that?
You know, not really, because I personally believe that in past annexations that the city has done, we're still not providing the full level of services that they need in that area, mostly infrastructure, stormwater drainage, and those kind of things. You know, we're delivering trash and public safety and all those things, but there's some roads that need to be improved along with storm drains and sewers that I would feel imperative to make some major progress against that before we did any additional annexation. I think there's areas that make perfect sense to be in the city because they can be better served with, especially public safety. But, you know, on the other hand, the commissioners, not just here, but anywhere, I hear this conversation from mayors all over, that commissioners don't want to give up the tax revenue for the county, and when the city annexes it in. And so it's that trade-off. It's like, are those people going to be better off or are they not? And you have to really look at smaller pieces of it to make that determination. You know, some mayors just, they want to annex because they want to increase the population or they want to increase the revenues coming in. But you've got to really look hard at that delivery of services and what it would take. You know, some of it's easy and some of it's very inexpensive. Other pieces of it can take on a pretty big dollar amount. And so I've never pushed it because I really feel like we have some old things that we really need to deal with before we consider any new annexation.
Yeah,
that's just my opinion. You know, I hear that a lot and I hear the legislature talking about it. It's like TIF districts almost each session. They make it a little tougher to annex and a little tougher to utilize TIF districts.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously kind of a broad question, so much to consider. You know, there's expiring waivers under that newer state law that came up in 2019, the relationship with other taxing units, as you say, but the, you know, the increase in population size, property taxes and such. But, you know, Indiana is so different too than other states. And some say that it's taxation without representation. Do you feel like Indiana is off on the way it annexes?
No, I don't know. I mean, there's pros and cons. There's little pieces you can look at and say, wow, that's kind of unfortunate that it works that way, or this works pretty well. But let's just take a step back for a second and think about 30% of our customers of our wastewater utility are in the county. So we collect taxes, you know, to help pay for that. And then we use user fees primarily. And so that's our two revenue sources. And so I hear from people who live in the county will say, well, the city council can raise my sewer rates, but we don't get to elect the city council members. So there's a, you know, it's not directly to be taxes per se, but it's related to that. So I understand all those arguments, but that's kind of Indiana's system. And I don't know how they would change it easily to make it more fair, because it's been that way forever. It's more structured that way. And if somebody loses revenue or gains revenue, well, that means somebody else is on the opposite end of that. And you got to make it up. And so I think annexation does become kind of challenging, because if you want to go annex the commercial areas where all the retail is, as an example, which is a prime target for municipalities, well, you're going to generate a lot of revenue. And you're probably not going to have to deliver too many more services there. Some public safety, but you've already got sewers in there. You've already got infrastructure of roads. So really your only added increase of expense is public safety, and primarily. And so is it, I don't know. I mean, I just think there's a lot. You could talk to 10 different people and probably get, you know, 7 or 8 clearly different answers. Only a few would agree.
Yeah. Let's move on just to any update. I believe the Indiana Gaming Commission opened up the Terre Haute Casino license applications. And have you heard anything more from your end?
Nothing other than there are some casinos that are interested in bidding. They've reached out to us, about 4 or 5 so far. You know, September 22nd is the deadline for them to submit applications. So I guess maybe we'll hear more in the coming weeks. We'll find out if Greg Gibson's going to reapply or not. But I haven't heard anything from Indianapolis. It's just all been just local conversation because people know it's open. And a lot of these gaming companies, I think there'll be several proposals.
Okay, so September 22nd would be the deadline for
them to submit to the gaming
submit to apply. So that kind of gives us a timeline. So then after that, what do you expect?
You know, I don't know how long it'll take, because obviously they'll have to vet all of those. I guess the more people that apply, the longer it's probably going to take. And for them to make a recommendation, the staff to the commission itself, I really don't know. And I've not had that conversation with Sarah Tate, you know, the gaming commissioner, recently about any of that, how that might play out. But hopefully things will begin to take off once they at least have applications in hand.
How about an update on the American Rescue Plan Act funds use, maybe also general budget hearings, which I assume are starting pretty soon, right?
Yeah, we'll advertise the budget this week. Hearings for us will be in September. So coming quickly, that's all in process. We're on generally the same timeline we follow every year. So I feel pretty good about the budgeting process so far. Revenues look good. Our expenses are manageable. I mean, we've had some increases, but I'm feeling good about the budget right now. And then on the ARP funds, we've not spent anything yet. We've received half of our allocation. We'll get the other half next May. We're working on a budget or an appropriation for this year to take care of a couple things, last year's revenue loss and some other projects, things we had in the hopper that were kind of already committed to that were held up because of COVID. And then we're going to pause on that a little bit and have our committee that we put together begin to really work through how we want to spend the vast majority of the money. So we had our first meeting recently, kind of developed some guidelines for the group. We're going to open up some opportunities for communicating with the public and get feedback from them. So it's going to be an ongoing process over the coming months and probably year.
You know, it's been a while too since we talked about Terre Haute, a long-term plan to set the Wabash River as a bigger destination, and it's part of your long-term control plan as well. Any update on those? I guess they're separate projects, but really contributing to the same thing.
You know, there's just a whole bunch of pieces to that. So the long-term control plan encompasses the entire city of Terre Haute along the river. So the east side of the river from end to end. And we were in the middle of that existing long-term control plan, ran into some issues that we've talked about on here, some environmental issues down the southern end of the city. So we had to put a pause on that. And we knew that we were going to have to renegotiate at some point, but it happened a little sooner because the cost keeps going up. So we have proposed three alternatives to IDEM to consider for our long-term control plan: a length of time, an update of projects, and a cost associated with that. I'm told that we'll probably get some feedback by the end of this year and an approval sometime next year. Some of that affects what we're doing in Fairbanks Park, because it depends on where we're going to, any outfalls we're going to remove, the old combined sewer overflows into the river, burying a pipe through Fairbanks Park. Those things all have a bearing on what we're going to do in the park. But then we've also hired a consultant to do a master plan for Fairbanks Park. So they will look at all the amenities that we've talked about, the art thing we want to do down there and bring back with, it's been there for a long time, it just doesn't work, a water feature, the boathouse for the rowing crew that's here in our community, and a variety of other improvements we want to make. So we need to kind of tie those two plans together so they don't get in each other's way. And so we've got consultants going down a parallel path here, and then ensuring as we cross over the work we're going to do down there will be very beneficial to the entire community, no doubt about that. But we have to make sure that we time this out on the calendar so we're not in each other's way, and then these projects begin to happen and we roll them out. So all that's kind of in flux, but we have submitted some plans that we're waiting on approval on at the IDEM level. You're muted there, Joe.
Sorry about that. And this was something I know we talked about before as being a much longer term plan, not something that was going to take place in the next 2 or even 3 years.
Yeah, so the long-term control plan component of putting that pipe in is probably in that same time frame, I suspect, probably the 3 to 4 year time frame of actually burying that. But then the projects in the park, We hope to start some of them maybe by the end of next year, and then maybe do, you know, one or two a year over the next couple of years. So my guess is it's going to be 5 years, but probably before everything is done down there. And maybe the pipe won't even be completed by then.
Right. Well, we're down about 5 minutes left. So I just wanted to see if there was any city council news, any updates on the police station, the convention center, or any special announcements you have for us.
Police station's running a couple weeks behind because of some materials coming in, some carpet and some other things. You know, the supply chain out there, we've not been affected much by it, but we are a little bit now. They were supposed to be done by the end of August. It looks like maybe by the end of the first week or into the second week of September, we'll be moving in. So we'll hold a ribbon cutting on that. And then the police are going to have a community day at some point to open house up for everybody and do some things for the kids, since we're not doing National Night Out this year because of the move primarily. So we're looking forward to that. The convention center is still on schedule, and it's right at budget. We were a little under budget. We've got some change orders coming through that's going to bump that up a little bit that we'll do here later this month. But we're still, considering we put that budget together in 2017, I feel really good about being, you know, right on it, or maybe just a hair above it with some change orders. So open up next May, starting to book some things, lots of phone calls, lots of activity. So I'm really excited about that. We're wrapping up our road projects. I think we got two more left to do, smaller ones, and then some little repair jobs. So we're kind of winding up on that road construction season. So, you know, it's been pretty exciting around here, a lot going on. And I'm really glad and happy where we're at right now here in August.
All right. Well, thank you very much again for your time. Hope to see you again. September will be our next time.
That's unreal.
It's crazy. Yeah. If you're listening to this and have a question for Mayor Bennett or any of our mayors, email us at news@indianapublicmedia.org. Thanks again.
Okay. Thank you.